Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. We have another topic tonight. It's going to be a little tougher tonight, probably. We're going to discuss dealing with death and how to deal with it. Myself, I've experienced quite a bit of it. Maya, my lovely Maya Moon is here. Almost everybody will experience it or has experienced it in their life. There isn't a quick fix. You can't take a little pill and it's going to all get better and all of that, but it's a subject that really can be addressed if it's addressed the right way, and we will be doing that tonight, and I look forward to that. We also have the chat room open, and I don't know if Candy's in there as of yet, but I'm sure she's on her way. She handles that in the chat room, and if you would like to call in and share something with us, you're welcome to do that. The number is 347-838-9736, and I will say hello, and I'll answer your call. Okay, my lovely Maya Moon, so this is a tough subject to talk about, but yet I think it's a good one because, like I said, everybody will be faced with it, but it's different for everybody, and I can tell you about my past, my experience with it, and I'm sure Maya can share some things and get us started. So take it away, my Maya Moon.
Well, I'm glad to be here, as always. And I appreciate everyone tuning in. And yes, it is it's a sensitive subject, but it is a very spiritual subject. And hopefully, as you're tuning in and you're still, in a grieving process, the way from a spiritual perspective, setting aside my personal experiences and looking at this through as my work as a medium. And what I found to be true with clients and so on is that I don't feel that we ever completely, are restored to the place that we were before we experienced the death, especially if it's someone like a spouse or a child or a parent. If it's an acquaintance, an aunt or uncle, someone that we didn't have an ongoing relationship, we tend to be able to rebound quicker and faster. But I think a lot can be learned from the way that we look at. We're always going to miss that person, but oftentimes I believe that as humans, we project our emotions and how we're feeling about that loss onto that person. And of course, if you're spiritual, then you believe that it's just the vessel or the physical body that dies. The spirit is energy that it's just simply shifted in its form. It's not destroyed. It continues to go on. So we can look at it. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it that can help us with our process. And grieving is a process, it's a step. And again, I believe that we all feel that, for example, my father passed. I was very young. I was not quite 9. And so this many years later, my memories of him have faded quite a bit. So I can't say that I really feel bereft or I feel a sadness just because it's been so many years and mainly because I was so young. But I still, from time to time, situations arise, and I do question if that person were alive, if he were alive, would my life be different? So we do that, and, you know, so hopefully if you're tuning in, you can, first of all, you can get some camaraderie and realize that you'd be surprised how many people have experienced death, and also that maybe we can be enlightened and learn that for the person that's crossing over and that's leaving, perhaps, you know, as Natalie wrote in the little synopsis of the show, you know, it's not necessarily tragic to that spiritual being. It may not be a tragedy as it is to us, if that makes sense.
Well, I think I'll go in with some things that have occurred for me. That is very unusual. You don't experience this unless there's an accident or something, but I lost my parents less than 5 months apart. I was an only child, so I lost my mother first. But my childhood, as we discussed, Maya, was not a normal one. I mean, I even questioned if they were really my parents, and that's no joke, because of the way I was not really raised by them. I was kind of shuffled, you know, but nonetheless, my mother passed away, and then my father passed away. It was short of 5 months, so it was really tough, but I had a 13-year-old. My son was 13 then, and I had my husband, of course. And I don't believe, no, let's see, I'm trying to think. Yes, I was working at the nursing home then, but I quit the nursing home after my father passed away. I had done my stint there. I had done my goodwill, you know, under grace for 6 years, so I felt it was time to get away from it. I don't know if I could have stayed there or not. I didn't even think about staying. It was just time. I knew it was time to go. But I probably dealt with that in a different way that most people would have if they were really close to their parents. I really didn't cry, and I don't know why. Maybe I was in shock, you know, they were so close to each other. You know, one goes, and then all of a sudden, another one. And it's like, and they passed away in the same room, same corner. The hospital, the people on that floor are more upset probably than I was. I mean, they were devastated. I mean, they waited for me in the elevator to come up, and their mouths dropped open. They couldn't believe it. So I dealt with that probably better than most people would. But I don't really know why. I wasn't really that upset. You know, you would have thought I would have gone into a tailspin because I didn't have them. But I think because I had my own little family, it was a little better. I had friends, but I wasn't super close to any of them at that time. There wasn't a real support kind of thing. I don't know, Maya. I don't know why. Maybe just because of the way I was raised, that distance, maybe, and I just thought of this, maybe when I was a little girl, I was actually prepared for something like this to happen, only I didn't know it then. So that, okay, you know, this is going to happen to her, and we have to kind of make sure that she can continue on and not really fall apart, because you would fall apart with that. I mean, that's your whole world. Those are your parents. But that was one thing that happened, and I don't know, Maya, what do you think? Do you have any ideas of why I wasn't, like, maybe I was in shock, I guess, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's possible, but to me the feeling is more that you had grown up learning. I mean, since we don't really have anything to compare it to. I mean, we know what our friend's life is like, but if we haven't lived with one set of parents and then we are given another set, everything is normal to us then, because that's the way it's always been. But the feeling that I get is that there was not a strong spiritual and emotional connection to your parents in comparison to how some people are very connected spiritually and emotionally to their parents, or even to their grandparents or cousins,
right,
or aunts and uncles, where
right,
other of us are not. So therefore, when they pass, although it probably was sad, and they didn't affect your life, again, spiritually and emotionally, they didn't have a huge impact on your life when you were, when they were alive, and as you were going throughout your phases of life, you had other people that you tended to turn to. So therefore, when they passed on, they're spiritually and emotionally, there was not that big of a difference. Does that make sense?
And, you know, I thought about, you know, because of the subject, I was thinking back, and even like, you know, a year after that, I remember bits and pieces, but I wasn't really, like, devastated. I don't know. It was strange. I'm sure a therapist would love to get a hold of me, find out why, but I just feel that I was prepared early on, so that I could continue to do what I had to do. Because, you know, they both worked, and I was home alone. We talked about this, that I must have had angelic help because I was home all the time by myself. I'd watch TV. I'd listen to my radio. We talked about this. I'd read a book. I loved to read. And I had friends, but I wasn't with them constantly. I didn't, you know, and I ended up with their home, and it took me a while to sell that and all of that kind of stuff. But I don't remember, and it always kind of bothered me, I guess, that I really didn't, you know, really burst into tears and all of that, and I really just think that there was another purpose for me, and if I had been really super close to them, that would have been devastating. If that's happened to some people, that, it takes a long time. I mean, it never goes away. I'm going to tell everybody that, because I can tell you that about my husband. But it does get better, and you find a support people around you, and we'll talk about my husband after, but you have people around you, and I probably leaned on more so my husband, I suppose, and not really my son. I just went about my daily business. I don't know. I think I was a little bit.
You were already used to doing that. I mean, they were a part of your life. There's people that are, you know, they're a part of our life, but we're not really reliant on them for our emotional or spiritual support or to heal us, to comfort us. I mean, you're not the only person. There's many people that have parents that they become just so devastated, and then there's others that, due to the way that they were raised and the relationship, they just don't feel it. I mean, in a sense, it's sad, but they kind of say, what's changed? I mean, they're physically not here, but
that's
it's
exactly
not,
right.
It's
yep,
not
that's
like,
it.
You're not saying, oh, I'm going to miss my mom. Whenever I had a problem, I always went to her, and she just knew the right things to say. And, I mean, it doesn't feel that you had that type of relationship. And when you married your husband, that need that you had, that parenting need that was maybe filled by that neighbor friend, those other people, it feels like in addition to being your husband, your life partner, he fulfilled a lot of that parenting role. So
many people said that. Because of the way he was, that he was like a father figure. It's true. But I will say this, because people will be listening. Many years later, I don't even know when it was, I had this beautiful dream, and I'm going to share it with everybody because you have to believe that there's something more. It was where I was walking down this dirt road, and there was a fence on my left side. On the other side of the fence was this beautiful green grass, and in the distance was my mother and my father. My mother always liked to dig weeds out of the yard. She was digging weeds, and my father had a shovel because he loved his tomato plants, and he was, like, gardening. And they both looked over at me, and they waved. Well, I never forgot that dream. And I think it was to tell me, look, we're okay, we're fine. The sun is shining. green grass. We're doing what we want to do. And I think by telling everybody that, that there is another place. I mean, but everybody knows how spiritual I am and what I believe in, and there just is. And that kind of like did it for me. That really showed me that they're good. They waved to me and smiling, you know, and I kept walking down the road. I mean, I saw them and I waved back, and I remember feeling really good, like, oh, there they are. Like, they were not, that it wasn't as though I couldn't reach them when I needed to. They were just on the other side of the fence.
Right.
And it was a beautiful scene. It was a beautiful scene. It really, really was. They were doing exactly what they like to do all the time anyway. So, yeah, so that was kind of good. I don't really know about them. But I, you know, we've discussed how I've turned out and look what I do. And I am like my mother, my mother's daughter, you know, in a lot of sense. I am like her. But I just didn't get that parenting. Like, you know, a lot of people are really close to their parents, and that's a wonderful thing. I talked to them every day. I called every day. You know, went over there on the weekends. So I was a good daughter. Wouldn't say I was lucky that I didn't feel devastation. I don't know. I mean, if you do, it's really tough, I know. And I don't know about Christy. I'm sure you've had some things happen in your life, correct? That were, that you faced a loss, right?
Yeah, I would say that the greatest loss for me would be my paternal grandmother and grandfather, and especially my grandmother. Now, she was someone that was extremely important to me and someone that I was very, very close to. And she died. She got ill. She was in her late 80s, so she had lived a full life. But we lived many miles apart, and I was at an age when she passed away, when she had a stroke, and so she was in a home. She was in a good place, but then when she had the next stroke and she ended up dying, I was at an age where I just wasn't as in touch with being grateful, the gratitude, and how much of an impact she was on my life. I was very busy with my own life. I was a young adult, but, you know, now with her, I would say, like comparing to my father, I have very few memories of him. And although I question sometimes, what would it be like now if he had lived, I don't really have, I'm not sure how to word it correctly, but I don't really have a huge sense of loss. I don't shed tears for him. However, with my grandparents, especially my grandmother, we called her Grandma. With her, I mean, there's still days that I become sad. I have so many good memories, so many. And, you know, so that probably was much more difficult for me, and it still is, although, like you said, time helps us to make more room for the pain, I think is the way I would say it. We make more room in our hearts, and more people come into our lives, and so we're not focused on that loss. But with her, there's many days, there's probably not more than a couple days that pass by that something doesn't make me think of her, and I don't ache and really truly miss her for the person that she was. And the older I get, the more I realize how much she gave of herself. She worked full time when she was in her 50s and her 60s, and she got 2 weeks off every year, and she spent those 2 weeks with my brother and I up until we got to be about 15, and then we just weren't interested in spending 2 weeks at Grandma's house. you know, we had, because she lived about a six-hour drive. But up until then, I think back now, you know, that her one, you know, vacation, excuse me, from work, and she spent it, and that's what she wanted to do. She spent it with us, and she would take us to, well, it's kind of like Disney World or Disneyland, but not that big. It was called Kings Island. It was a big, huge theme park. And, of course, she
that was in Ohio, wasn't it?
Cincinnati, yeah.
I went there. I know where that is.
Okay, well, we used to say it was over the river. That's what we used to call
yep.
it.
Yep.
But, you know, she was spry, but she couldn't walk like, and I had a cousin who lived on a dairy and tobacco farm who we spent a lot of time with visiting at her house, and she always came with us when we went on our adventures. And, you know, I can remember, you know, now I would be the one saying, like with my grandson, okay, Grandma has to take a break. I'm going to sit here. You guys go right here. But she was really protective and, you know, funny and everything. And they were country folks, so everything was planned around food. And, of course, as kids, you know, we were growing up more with fast food and that, but she was more everything you home cook. You don't go to the Burger King for French fries or McDonald's. You homemade.
She made them by hand. Yep.
Right, but she's one that her death continues to impact me. So yeah, I believe that it is not necessarily the definition. As far as the relative, if it's an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a mother, a grandmother, as much as it is the energy of that relationship and how strong the connection is. And it could very well be you were at a probably a challenging time in your life, in your marriage, and raising your son. So that's a good point. Had you had a different life, especially being an only child, had you been just really, really close and bonded with both of your parents, I mean, that could easily have, I mean, there's people that suffer nervous breakdowns, and I mean, they really fall very into some dark places. And with you being a parent, you would have not been able to parent your son
right.
The way that he needed it if you would have been suffering from extreme grief.
But, you know, the following year was when I got very ill. That following, in 1982, I got really ill. And on top of that, over Labor Day of that year, my dog bit me on my face. So I was like slammed. That a month or so. So I'm just wondering, maybe, I don't know. I always felt it was kind of strange. I had grandparents, but I only saw them maybe once a year. I hardly knew them. I didn't know my grandfather. My mother was pregnant with me when he died. I never got to know him. So I didn't have that bond with my grandparents. I don't know. I always thought about it. Why didn't I get real? I should have been really devastated by it. I don't know how I got through it, but I did. I just think it was paving the way for me. I really do. I just don't think that I was supposed to, because of what I would be doing, I wasn't supposed to just be, because that can really, really do a number on your life when you lose two like that. Even
yeah.
in an accident. Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine that, you know. But I was spared. I really feel I was spared. And then look at what happened to me the following year. But, you know, I didn't have them. But my mother was not doting, you know, because she worked. She was the oldest of 10. We've talked about it. And my father, you know, he worked. But at that time, they were both retired when they passed away. I tried to get my father to come live with me, but he didn't want anything to do with that, right after my mother passed away. That was their home, their first home together, and he wanted to stay there. So, you know, I lived on the other side of town, so I had to have the neighbor, the lady that I did a lot of things with, she would go over and bring food, make sure that he was eating and all of that. But then, you know, like I said, less than 5 months after that, I went through it again. And I don't know, I can't even tell you how I did it. I have no idea. I'm sure it did something for me. I want to look at it positively for me. Somehow it had to have been, it was important. It was major. That's major. But I would tell people that and they'd say, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But then what happened to me 4 years ago actually probably was worse when you think about it. But, you know, but anyways, you deal with it in your own way. I had some friends around me, but we didn't talk about it. You know, their parents were still alive, and I just kept doing. I went to work for a club, a tennis club. I left the nursing home, and I loved it there. I loved helping those people at the nursing home. You know, everybody. I mean, I did their hair, and they just adored me. They would line up outside my door waiting for me to come in. And it was really a nice experience, I have to say that. And so, I don't know, maybe being around them kind of paved the way a little bit for me of what was to occur, because I worked there a long time and I saw people pass. I would lose patients. And I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I don't even think if I went to see somebody, they could explain it to me, because I don't think they would know. But, you know. Yeah, we all have things that we go through, and how do you deal with it? Well, I can't even explain how I dealt with that, because I don't know how I did. I mean, I maybe a little bit was shock, and I just kept doing what I was doing, but then more came later on. Let's see, I'd have to say about 6-7 years ago. Of course, we've talked about my husband with his Alzheimer's, and I had to deal with that on a daily basis by myself. That was rough. That was really rough. But you know what, Maya? I was able to handle it. And, you know, I mean, everybody always admires me when they say, how did you do that? I just did it. You know, it was tough on me. It could have been very scary for me. But I was guided. There's no doubt in my mind I had angelic presence with me, or God with me, or Jesus a few times, I know. Because most times you cannot take care of a patient, person like that, when they become really violent. Yeah, and I'm not very big, and he was a big man. But I managed it, and I stand really tall and proud with it, that I did that for him. I have times where I do cry about him, because he was so brilliant. And what you do is you start thinking about what you did during your happy times. And my son and I always, when we're together, nobody else is around, we'll reminisce about, oh, we did this. Remember when we did this? And we'll end up laughing and smiling. And on Sundays, sometimes I'll look up and I'll say, I bet you any money you're having your mother's roasted chicken today. And I'm really jealous, because she made the best food of anybody I'd ever met in my whole life. Now, that woman I really adored, but I didn't get upset when she passed away either. It's really strange, and I don't even like to think about it, but getting into this, I just think that you have to find your way to deal with it. You have to depend upon people around you that you know really care about you, and I can tell you that for my friends when my husband passed away, what it was like, and if your children, if you're close to your children, like I'm very close to my son, at a moment's notice, I can call him. It doesn't matter. No, Mom, I'll be there. And my daughter-in-law also would do that. I mean, if my son couldn't do it and I called her and I said, I need you to take me because it's important now, it would only bother her if it was important. She'd say, okay, just give me 5 minutes, I'll be there. So, and the people around you, you just have to find that support. Some people go into therapy. I'm lucky I've had Maya. She's known me since that time, and I've had her, and I have to give her credit for a lot of it. And the fact that I remained super busy with STARS, we were just starting to develop it. It was in the creative part at the very beginning of it. And I was lucky, and I had Tony. He would come over, and I kept busy with that. And that's probably what really helped me the most, because I don't even think about what it was like when I had to do all these things, and it was some of it was horrific, but I don't even think about it. It's just back in a place, like it's not got cobwebs, but it's back there. And if I wanna hold on to it a little bit, I can go back into that room, so to speak. I can go back there, but I really don't. I have the door closed, not locked, but I have it closed because that's not a good place for me to be. I've told you before, I'm so blessed, Maya. I have people that depend upon me. I have all my stars. At any moment's notice, they could call upon me, and that's part of who I am. That's what I am, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I really wouldn't. And my mother was very giving, and so was my father. They would do things for anybody. You know, I mean, my dad was always fixing somebody's washer, somebody's dryer. Oh, call Andy. His name was Andy. Call Andy. He'll know how to fix it because he knew how to fix machines. You know, that was his job. Yeah. And, you know, and my mother was like a pillar of strength. She was the oldest, and she had her sisters. A couple of sisters lived near us, and they would always call upon her. I mean, if there was a crisis in her family, they'd always call my mom, and she would be able to deal with it. And I think because she worked, I didn't get to be that close to her because she worked ever since I was born. So I was automatically left alone, or I was left with my aunt until I was about, I'd have to say, 8 years old. I was staying home alone, and then you could do it. You know, but I had my extended family across the street that I could always call upon, and if something happened, but nothing happened. I mean, it was nice then. It was really nice growing up, and you could be alone in your home. You didn't have to worry. But now it's a little bit different, even when you're older. I mean, I make sure my doors are all locked, and my son always tells me, make sure you lock that door going into the garage because they can get in the garage, and that means they can get in the house, and I've always locked it, always. I mean, and I always carry my phone because I had to with my husband everywhere I go. If I go to the mailbox, I got my phone in my hand. If I take the garbage out to the road, my phone is in my hand. I got into a habit doing that, and it's probably good because I'm by myself. And, you know, all you got to do is hit 911, or I can have my son on auto dial and my daughter-in-law. You know, so you have to be prepared, and I was and I am always prepared. But, the biggest thing that I had to deal with was my husband. And I can get upset about that if I watch something, like we talked about that one movie. That really, it did a number on me. Miracles from Heaven, that just put me over the top. And it resonated with me, and it stayed with me, and it still stays with me. And it's, you know, I think about what I do and why I do it. Like, you know, I can see the same movie over and over again, and I'll cry in the same spot. I do. It's just me. You know, it's just how I am. So I can be very, very sensitive to things and people in need. And so, you know, here I am 4 years later. I have stars. I have all my stars around me. I have Maya, Candy, Jackie, any one of them that I can call. So I have an extended family, and that's really how I like stars to be. And that's what it is. I mean, if somebody needed somebody, they can reach them on Facebook, and I'm always available to be. Even people out of the country, they can always get me on Facebook. But I guess losing my parents, and I don't know what you think, Maya, but I think maybe in a way it prepared me for what was coming down the road, and I handled that okay. I don't know if it was under grace. I guess it was. I appreciated everything that they did for me. My mother taught me how to be a good businesswoman, actually. And my father, I can still to this day fix things. And, you know, I think it's because of watching him. So I think you have to appreciate and you carry that with you. So I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts on anything that I've said thus far. I don't really want it to be all about me. I mean, it could be because of what happened to me. But I'm okay. If I get in a mood or something, I can always send an email to Maya. And I'll say, I need to talk to you. And she'll say, okay, call. You know, or I'll call and leave a message, and she'll call me right back. She knows because I trust her, because she helped me at the very, very beginning when I lost my husband. And so she knows, and she's, you know, she's got, you know, her psychology background and everything. So if you can find somebody, she always would say to me, why don't you go to a therapist? I said, I have you. What do I need to go to a therapist for? I have you. So, but sometimes you do have to go to somebody who's outside and with their experience on seeing people like yourself. But I have always said I'm unique. I'm not like everybody else. And so I just gravitated to my Maya Moon. I call her my Maya Moon. And like Candy leans on me if she needs me and she's listening. You know, I kind of look out for her. And Jackie's like another mother to me. She's not that much older than me, but she mothers me. And so see how lucky I am? I have no complaints at all.
So when you think about, like, for example, going back to your parents and looking at it from the journey, the spiritual journey, it's
right.
Interesting that they passed 5 months apart. Do you put any, is there anything that you associate with that? Do you feel that's spiritually karmic, or that was intended that they needed to continue their journey, and that it wasn't meant to be for them to be apart for another 5 or 10 years?
Exactly. My father, right. My father, before he passed away, he was able, you know, he was on a ventilator. Everybody knows about that. But he could use his hands and he could write. And he would say to me, he would point to me and he would say, two. I knew what he meant. He didn't want me to go through what I went through with my mother. So actually he pulled the ventilator off. He got himself free. He wanted to be with my mother. I mean, he would sit in the backyard, and I'd say, just come live with me. We'll leave the house. We'll take care of it. No, I want to be here. This was our home. And I don't think he wanted to burden me. I really don't think he wanted to do that. And I can see him telling me that, sitting in his seat back, you know, the garages were not attached, where most of them weren't. And it would sit back, you know, from the house. And he would sit back there in the special lawn chair that he had. And I go out and talk to him, and we visited him all the time, and I kept trying to get him to come to my house. I had a room for him, but he wouldn't leave. And I really didn't want to take him from that place because it had meaning to him, and I knew it was important, so I didn't push. They were meant to be together, Maya. That was
right.
The way that it was supposed to be.
So your mom, was it expected? Did she get ill and so you knew, or was it sudden with your mom?
Well, she had very, very high blood pressure. And, you know, my husband and I would take her to the doctors, you know, and her ankles would swell and all of that, and they thought it was gout, but it wasn't gout. It was her heart. And when she went in, the cardiologist, they did a catheterization on her, and he said she has no reserve, no cardiac reserve. He said, like, when you go up and down steps, you recover. She doesn't have that at all. But she was a heavy smoker. She drank. She didn't take care of her body. She really didn't, even when she was told to take care of it. And, you know, she wasn't supposed to have salt, and she would salt everything. She'd even salt pizza. I mean, she, you know, you couldn't stop
right.
her from doing what she did. And she was happy doing it. No, I want to do this. I'm happy doing this. So what was I going to do, tie her in a chair? Did I know something was going to happen? I knew eventually, but I didn't know for sure when. My father, I think I had an idea about him. I didn't know what he was going to do, but I knew that if you could will yourself to die, he would do it, because he wanted to be with my mother. And their anniversary was the 16th of July, and he passed away on the 7th. And it didn't surprise me that he wanted to be with her for their anniversary. And that's how I dealt with it.
I've seen that a lot, where people that have been together You know, I mean, I've seen it be the opposite, too, where they're able to continue on and find love
right.
again, and their life, they have a fulfilling life. And I think a lot of it depends on age and just a lot of different factors.
Right, and how you feel about yourself, and if you're still young at heart. Some people can be 85 and they get married. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they find somebody that is a true companion. And others never do. And I knew with my father. I mean, he adored my mother. He just adored her. Anything Mary wanted, Mary got. Oh, Mary wants it. It's okay. I mean, he would have taken on a second job if he had to. That's what kind of a man he was. He was devoted to her. He was a good father to me. I can remember some really nice things. I remember him giving me 21 singles on my 21st birthday. He took me in the backyard. He said, "Now, don't tell your mother I'm doing this." They would always do that. They did that with my son. "Now, don't tell your grandfather that I'm giving you this money." You know. But he took me back there, and he gave me 21 singles. I will never forget that. He said, "This is special for you." And I was already married at the time, didn't have my son, and that just was so meaningful.
Right.
So,
that was just
something
special that you shared. And so do you
just
think,
with him.
Aside from, you know, what we go through, you know, because we're left behind in a sense, and you hear so many people, like you had mentioned about the young girl that had passed
right.
away, and everyone is so forsaken about that because they said, you know, it's a shame she had her whole life. But what proof do we really have? What do we have that supports the theory that this is the better of the two? Who's to say that
exactly
that
well, I had it in my dream. That supports how I feel. You know, because I saw it for my parents. I saw them.
Yes.
And I wish everybody else could have that in a dream state or in a vision. And yes, this little girl was 14. She was one of a twin. And it was just, I still think about her. But also I think about another family. I had first moved here, and the father, he was a stepfather to the children. They had one baby. They had a baby, and the mother and the baby stayed at home, and one other child was home, one of hers, with another man. Well, the other kids all went with their stepfather in a plane, and they all died. I will never forget that, because I think to myself, how did that lady ever handle that? They were all taken from her all at once. And she was left with two, and she lost her husband and her other children. I think they probably had a total of five together, all together with the, you know, step and the real ones between the two, the husband and the wife. And that has stuck with me. It just stuck with me forever. And I don't know. Now, that would be somebody to talk to. I mean, and I bet you any money she's still in therapy. I don't think she will ever recover from that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that to me is where it's imperative that we're able to believe in some form of afterlife, that the spirit
right.
moves on, and that we're in a place that's a serenity, beauty, calmness,
right.
that there's no pain, there's no fear, there's no challenges,
right.
there's no money worries. And so even though we miss, and we, you know, I'm sure she did struggle greatly, but
yeah.
I do believe that it can offer us solace, and it can offer us a faster or easier or more, a better path to recovery and rebound if we know that the person that we've lost is happy and is able to say, you know, this is okay. I chose this, or this was part
right.
of my contract. I knew
not
this
only
was.
That, with her, she may have felt, well, okay, my husband is with them. They're with their stepfather.
True.
You know, so that might have given her a little bit of something to hold on to, And same thing with this other little girl that was just about a month ago. The one twin, of course, was home, and the other two that were in the car survived. She was the one. I think she was in the back seat. I don't know. I didn't. Sometimes I don't like to get details. I mean, I've had some near misses in my life, and I just am grateful for that. And I don't like to hear, but I think that, you know, they're probably thinking, well, we have her sister, we have the twin. I told you this, Maya. There was this thing that was passed out, and my daughter-in-law, for some reason, brought one home to me, and it's still sitting on my snack bar. It's a picture of her. And that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It really bothers
me. I mean, yeah.
And I leave it there as remembrance for her, and I didn't even know her. So you see, there is a part of me that grieves for everybody else. That's why I've always said, I'm sure I was with Jesus. I'm sure of it. And, you know, my son was laughing. He said, yeah, Mom, you were even stoned by this little boy that was hitting you in the head with rocks. I said, yeah, I was stoned by him. Can you imagine? But I survived that. But, yeah, when they're really young, that really bothers me. But yet, I mean, if the mother would come to me and say, well, how do you feel about this? Well, look, I'll tell you how I feel about it. This remembrance is sitting on my snack bar, and I pass it every single day. I haven't been able to put it away yet. That bothered me a lot, and I don't know. And you would think, well, gosh, you didn't know her, and she didn't really mean anything to you, and I don't know. It's just a part. Maybe it's because I dip into my past a little bit when I do that, and I don't even realize it. Like that movie that I saw, oh, that just took me over the edge. Her walking on the clouds to the door, that's all I had to see. I mean, I was like, and you know, I talked to you a lot about it. I just did a number on me. So I don't know. I mean, I think everybody has to believe that there is another place, that's where we go, and you'll all be reunited again. Like I always tease my husband, he's probably having her spaghetti and her, God, she made the best food, her veal and her pheasant and all that stuff. And I said, yep, I can see you all at the table now. You're all eating and having a good time. So, you know, she could just really cook, and she did everything for him, and I didn't really grieve for her either, although I have a rose and I have some things from her. Isn't it funny? I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm just strange. I'm a strange woman of how I've lived my life. And yet, I even tell people about Under Grace on Twitter. Somebody writes me something about, and I said, if you do it under grace, you're going to be just fine. That's what I do. And just love and give compassion and help when you can. Do as much as you can for everybody. Don't hate. Don't try to destroy. Don't do any of that. Because, you know, the universe or God is keeping track, and you have two columns. You have the good and you got the bad. You want to have that column with good. You want to have all the little checks or X's that you can get, thousands of them for your life, and that's how I believe. And like you always tell me, Maya, I have a lot of good karma. And I remember as a little girl, all the things, I probably was doing things under grace, but I didn't even know what it was, except for that little boy that tried to hurt me. I taught him a lesson is what I did. I wasn't going to hurt him, but I taught him a lesson. You don't do that. You just don't do that. And look at the time that I spent in the nursing home. I look back and I realize what all that I have done in my life. And Jackie said to me today, we need to do an autobiography of you. She's doing my Wikipedia. And so she's delving into my past, right? She said to me on the phone today, yep, we got to do an autobiography of you. So I don't know about that. But, you know, but think about your life, what you've done, Maya. All the good things. Look at what you've done for me. Look at all the karma that you've built. All the good stuff. Candy, she's another one. Everybody that I'm surrounded with, and I'm sure there's many, there's thousands, I hope there's thousands out there that do that. And so I don't know. I think you have to deal back to grief. I think you have to deal with it in your own way. You have to find people in your life that you can depend upon a little bit. Don't stay in the house and be alone, because that's probably the worst thing that you can do. But you don't want to go dealing with strangers, because they're really not, you know, unless they're, you know, like you were a stranger to me, Maya, but we were probably sisters in another life. I'm sure of it. And,
right.
But, you know, I think you have to give of yourself, and you do eventually. Now, it's been 4 years. I can say, and my friends have told me this, I'm finally coming back into my own. But I wasn't in my own when I was married to him that whole time, and when I took care of him, I was not in my own. I was not of my own at all. I was just part of him. And he wasn't really bad all the time.
Right.
What?
You were like an extension.
I mean, he taught me a lot. Yes, he did. But my neighbor Diane, she says, I see a change on you, a face change. She said, you look like you're going to have a brighter future. You're coming into your own, she said. That was the nicest thing she could have said to me.
Yeah, that is.
You know, I mean, because it meant, but it took me 4 years now.
And that can be as difficult and as tragic as death can be in our lives. I do feel that there's a point where we have a turning point and there are other and better things that can come our way. It's like what a lot of people say. Now, a lot of people choose, especially if they're depending on their age, and there's just a lot of factors. You can't just narrow it down to one.
Right.
Right. A lot of people that were married 30, 40 or so years, they love again. And the reason why they're able to love again is because it's the honor of the love that they had that first time. It's not because that love is gone or that person is no longer in their heart or a part of them. It's because, you know, it's because it's part of it is honoring. And I know from being a medium, almost every experience that I've had has been positive, and I've been shown light and beauty and whatever that person, it's like whatever our utopia would be, our Garden of Eden or our paradise, whatever
right.
that is basically what we receive. And one message that comes through universally, you know, by all those that have crossed, is that they want us to release them and they want us to be happy. And it's not that they're not around us, they always are. But if we're holding on to them in a way that doesn't allow us to embrace the gifts that the universe has, whether that's God or creator or goddess, whatever we recognize that, obviously we have a grieving time. I'm not trying to say that we don't. But eventually we need to get back in the game. And when we do that, we then release the person in the way that it's
right.
always shown to me, is that release then allows that person, like we talk about guides. I wrote about our guides in the blog last week. And that's another thing. Many people that leave the planet, and they leave early because perhaps they're such a highly evolved spirit that they came only to be able to share a few years of their life with those people around them, their mother, or their father, their sister, their brother, aunt, uncle, grandparent. And then they were able to be released. And those are sometimes working as guides or their spiritual teachers, or it's like a hierarchy, if you will. It's almost like a little command center, and you've got, you know, the angelic being, okay, stop that car, a miracle's about to happen. Save that baby, a miracle's coming. I mean, so.
Oh, yeah, look at me. We talked about that, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago.
Right. So if you try, as you're moving through the grieving process, if you can try to work like you said, you know, and I say that too, in a state of grace, and you can accept that just because we're sad and we are in sometimes in a challenged way or we're grieving, the person that has moved on is not, they're not hurting. They're not in pain. They may have sympathy or empathy for us and where we're at and wish that, you know, for our sake, they could be with us. But it's like, if you have the flu and let's say your best friend has had tickets to, I don't do operas, but I'm just going to give an example. Let's say your best friend has bought tickets and waited 2 years to see their favorite opera. And you were supposed to go with them, and I'm talking about not just you, Natalie, but the general
right,
you.
Right.
And you come down with this terrible virus and you can't go. You're not going to say, oh, I'm so angry that they're getting to go and they're going to see this opera they waited 2 or 3 years to see.
Right.
You're
going
to be disappointed and sad that you're not there to share it with them, but you're still going to be filled with joy. I mean, if you're a person of the light and you're going to say, take pictures, I can't believe I'm sick, but I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah,
that's
what I would do.
Day.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly,
you know,
it.
What I would do, too, I would be send pictures. When I get well, I want to hear every last detail, so you better write, you better take notes. So think of death and the passing. It's a continuation of the journey. It's an end of the physical body, but we're just the vessel. And I'll be writing more on that this week from my guides. And obviously that's not the only way to view it. But hopefully we can walk away with a higher understanding that just helps us to and if we're under grace, then we're able to balance and accept that there is grieving. But grieving doesn't mean that we cannot also embrace what we have and look forward to the potential of the future. So with that, that's pretty much all that
yeah,
I
just
say.
I extended the show just a little bit just in case we had more to say. But yeah, I just, you know, you can't compare my life to anybody else's and how they go through things. I just kind of walked around and I did things. I mean, I would go with my friends because, you know, my son always said to me, if they invite you, go. Even if you don't want to go, go. Because pretty soon they're going to stop asking you. Well, I know she's going to say no. So I started doing that. And I had one girlfriend that I saw a lot of. Now she's got her daughter with her, so I'm not seeing her as much. But I had my friend next door. And I think you, when you're a female, you just feel really alone. And you do feel alone, and I can tell you what that's like. And it's not fun. You know, you don't have anybody to have dinner with you. You're by yourself. Sure, you know, I have a lot of people online, and I can call, but it's not the same as having a significant other or a husband with you. There is, that's empty. That's gone. I have a cat, my Muji. He allows me to live here. That's what kind of cat he is. But the thing of it is that it cannot ever replace a love. It can't. I mean, unless you find someone again in your travels or something. But it's not that easy. Everybody says, oh, yeah, you can find somebody else. It really isn't that easy. I think when you lose a partner, it changes you. And for me, first of all, they would have to be super special, very spiritual, not maybe as much as I am, because sometimes I go way off. I mean, I am. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's probably laughing if they listen. Oh, yeah, she is. But I don't know. I'll tell you something, though. I would know when he appeared. I would know right away. I would know. But do I seek it? No. Mm-mm. No, I leave it up to God. He's the one, he's the divine, is how I feel, and whatever your God is, he will direct me, he will make sure I'm at the right place at the right time, And that's the way it is. And maybe my life is to be helping all the people that I help and guiding them through and in and out through STARS and all the clients that I deal with. And then, you know, my magazine, I deal with people all over the world. Natalie, do you want to do this for the July issue? And I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how busy I get. And really, I love it, and I really think I've come into my own. I have to thank my mother for that because she gave me the courage to not be afraid. And I have a girlfriend, you know, who's very ill, but she's very strong. And, you know, and I have her daughter that's my goddaughter. I've talked about her. I have that around me also, but I have a beautiful son and my granddaughter, which I've talked about. So I look to them, you know. Maya told me something about my granddaughter that we're going to get even closer as she gets older, and I love that. I told my son that last week. I just want to be near her. It's important, and I haven't figured it out yet. I really don't know. Maybe because I just want her to always remember me. She will, and I don't ever bring it up and say, well, you know, one day I won't be here, because I don't do that to her. I just want her to have all these wonderful memories with me. Like my son, and my son and I were talking last week, and he said, you know, he said, I will really miss you. But he said, I will think about all the times we spent together, how many kids get to spend this kind of time with their parents, especially their mom, like sons with their mom. He said, I don't think there's that many, Mom. And any moment he gets to stop over and have coffee or lunch, when he's checking jobs and stuff, he will do it. And he always calls, always. If I send him a text, I could do it to my daughter-in-law. I need you here. They would drop everything that they were doing, and they would be here. But they're only like 7 minutes away. So I think you have to surround yourself with people that you know really love you. And they're not, when they're doing things for you, they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for you because they love you, because they really care. And I am surrounded by it. I have 90-some readers. I have some, you know, Star Sirius is in there, happy to see her, and, of course, Candy's in there, and I'm just thrilled. I'm so thrilled with all of them at what we've accomplished so far, and I say we. So I guess you have to find something that you can love, that you love what you do, whether it's crocheting, knitting, reading. Do something of in the creative line. Because I do in my own way with everybody, and I'm lucky I have Tony. I mean, him and I, we laugh, and his fiance is wonderful. She knows what I am, the place that I have, and, you know, I'm not out to take him away from her, nothing like that. And it's really good. So I hope from this talk you can get a little something from Maya and myself. I mean, I've experienced an awful lot, yeah, and that's just the way it is for me. But I have so much that I still want to do, and I talk to God all the time. I'm not ready to go yet, so don't be packing anything or opening any doors for me, because I am not ready. I talk to him all the time. And, you know, my life has been spared a few times already, and I've had miracles. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and love as much as I can and do for Maya and Candy and Sirius and all of them that are as stars, and my son and my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law, my godchild, my goddaughter, and my best friend that I have, that I've known since sixth grade. And she is so strong, you can't imagine. She gives me these little pep talks, and she says, I wish you were more like me. And she's really tough. I'm more soft in my heart, I guess you'd say. She's tough. Her exterior is tough. And so just find those that really care about you. Sometimes it takes a little while, but look, it took me 4 years before somebody could say, I'm finally coming into my own. And I have lots I'm going to do, and I have aspirations, and just, you know, that's all we can do, right, Maya? I mean, we have to do the best that we can, but allow yourself to grieve. Cry if you have to. Go to a movie, and if it makes you sad, cry. Who cares? You cry. You're showing an emotion. Like when I was when I saw that movie, I mean, I was hysterical. I had to cover my mouth. I didn't leave, though. I was compelled to sit in that seat and watch the rest of that movie because I knew it was going to be of benefit to me. But it really resonated because that's what my belief is, see? And it was like a trigger for me. Okay, see, Natalie? You see? This is it. This is it. This is real. You know. But it's okay. It's okay to cry at sad movies. I do it all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't change who you are. And I think you have to find who you are. And but again, if you could just stand in my shoes and see what I have that surrounds me, it's really saved me. I guess I was supposed to. I have more to do and I have things to do, but I'm very blessed with Maya. I love Maya. I love Candy. Star Sirius. I mean, she writes me little notes and all of them. They all, even the ones from foreign lands, they call me ma'am. Madam, not a madam, but you know what I'm saying. They're so respectful. Whatever you wish, they'll say, whatever you wish. And I'm talking from countries that it's really tough for them right now. And I'm so grateful. Look what I know. Look who I know. Just try to keep going one step at a time. Cry if you have to. Cry alone. I do that a lot. Oh, yeah, I do. And sometimes I don't bother anybody when I do that. And I just talk to God, and I talk to Jesus, and, you know, I know they're there with me because I'm not really ever alone, and my little Muji, bless his little heart, he'll come and lay beside me, and he purrs, and he rubs up against me. He knows. Animals always know when you're upset about something, and that's how he is with me, so I'm very, very lucky. So I guess with that, we should end the show. I want to, again, thank Candy. She's in there, and Star Sirius is in there. She's a numerologist. You know, we've got to be grateful for everything, and I'm glad that we had some people in the room. And please listen to the previous broadcasts that we do. Read the blog. The blog is so important. I post it in Pinterest all the time, and I put it in StumbleUpon. I try to put it in every place that I can. You know, we have a tarot card reading the Stars Gnosis is doing every single day now. I'm just so proud of the site. I'm so proud of everybody that works it. They are really doing what I've always wanted them to do, and to be of the light and be kind and caring and do what you want to do and make yourself feel really good, because that's what's really important. You can't spread yourself too thin, but, oh, I don't know. I get myself out there as much as I can, so. And I'm only one person, but anyways, and I can laugh about it. Yes, I get teary-eyed. I can do that easily. But anyways, Maya, I love you, and I don't know what the topic's going to be next week, but you know it's going to be a good one. And we'll be back same time, same station. I hope everybody had a nice Memorial Day. Now it's back to the usual. And Candy, thank you. I know you're in the room. I see you there. Thank you, thank you. She's a blessing. She works her magic on Facebook. My phone goes bing, 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 and I know my granddaughter will say, well, who's that? I said, oh, that's Candy. That's Candy, I know it is.
The media director.
and like you, you're creative. You do that, and Jackie does her writings for me, like she's doing my Wikipedia. Everybody feels that I should be doing that. I should be there. Oh, I guess so. I just go wherever it takes me. Whatever opens up, whatever door opens for me, I go through and peek and look around. Well, yeah, I guess I can do that. Nah, I don't really want to do that. So good things are coming, and just be kind and loving to everybody and do everything under grace. That's the best I can tell you.
I want to say real quickly, too, because it'll be before next Monday, for all those that celebrate in whatever way you might be a father, whether you're a biological, a stepfather, a grandfather, an uncle, or just a father figure to someone that needs that, or even an older brother or a cousin, in whatever respect you are, happy Father's Day. And with that, God bless everyone for all the good that they do and bring into the light. And thank
That's
you,
right.
for Ms. Yadley, for showing us the way. And I hope everyone has a wonderful evening, and we love you too, of course.
Okay, and we love you, and we'll see you next week. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Bye-bye.